We're going to be in Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38, which is the announcement to Mary. Let me ask you if you believe a few things. First of all, do you believe in the inspiration of the Bible? That the Holy Spirit wrote the Bible. God wrote the Bible. He used about 40 men to write the Bible, and it was written over about a 1,500-year period. And these men were from all, as we say, walks of life, from different geographical areas. Most of them did not know each other. Some of them did in the New Testament. But most of them, particularly in the Old Testament, did not know each other. But 40 men over 1,500 years, and there's no contradiction in Scripture. There are apparent contradictions, but there are no contradictions in Scripture. And that's because the Holy Spirit did it. The Holy Spirit orchestrated the whole writing of Scripture. And Scripture is infallible. Do you believe that? Well, infallible means that it can't fail. God's Word is not a science book. But whenever it speaks about scientific things, it's right. It's infallible. Do you believe that? Do you believe in the deity of Jesus Christ? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is God? Do you believe in Jesus' virgin birth? Do you believe in the miracles that He performed during His life and His ministry? Do you believe in His death, His penal death for our sins, that He paid the penalty for our sins in our place? Do you believe in His physical resurrection, that He was dead? He didn't just pass out from the loss of blood and then get revived from the cool of the tomb. No, you believe He was dead. You believe He rose from the dead. And do you believe that He eventually is going to come back? Man, that's a lot to believe, isn't it? And yet, in believing that, we still have some struggles with belief in this life. Believing all that, much of it is impossible to our understanding and relies upon God's power. We still have difficulty with things in life. Well, you know what? We're not alone. And that's what I want to share with us from the birth announcement to Mary. Because just as each one of those things that I mentioned requires you to have faith in things that are difficult to understand, God has done some miracles and He continues to work in our lives. And sometimes things in our lives are tough to deal with, even believing those things in His power. Believing the impossible goes against our natural inclinations. And Mary was no less human than any one of us. Let me ask you a question to put this on your mind. You just kind of let it sit there as we look at this. When was the last time God did a miracle for you? There are impossible events in this life. Seem like there's just no way that this can happen. I have them going on in my life right now. You probably have some going on in your life. What do you do with situations that are beyond your control? You have something impossible going on? You need a miracle? What do you do with those situations? Well, let me consider three factors that we can see in Mary's response to God's announcement to her. And let's see how they apply and to our situations and how they apply to our lives as we walk with Him. If you're with me there in Luke chapter 1, I want to start verse 26 down to verse 29, where first of all, we can see the fear of an unknown event. Something's going on and we just, all of a sudden, it comes into our life. How am I going to handle this? Fear comes in. And look at verse 26. It said, now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. So imagine that scene. You know, there she was, minding her own business. She had gotten betrothed. She was getting ready to start a new life with Joseph, her fiancé. I mean, everything is getting set. Her life just has a plan going out there. All of a sudden, God breaks right into her life. And she gets this confrontation. Well, how does she respond? She responded with her emotions. She responded with fear. When something happens to us that we just can't immediately grasp, it strikes our emotions. It puts fear in our heart. Because we don't know at first what we're going to do with this. Rejoice? angel says, rejoice. She's frightened because of what she's seeing. All of a sudden there's this angel, there's this being right in front of her. Rejoice. Well, she's scared to death. She reacted the same way that we do. She was troubled. What in the world is happening to me? And why? What's going on here? The first natural response to something that comes into our life that is new, that we just can't grasp immediately, is fear. It's an emotional response. And that's okay. That's the way we're wired. Physiologically, anything that enters in through our ears and our eyes and everything, before it gets to the part of our brain where we think about things, it goes through the limbic system, which is where our emotions are. The things that come into our life go through our emotions, and then they go to the part of our brain where we think about them. So it's difficult for us to think about things without first reacting to them emotionally. It's very difficult. We have to learn to control the emotions to think about it. The first natural response is emotional. But then second, we can see something else. In verses 30 down to 34, we can see the fact of the established order, the way life should be. This thing has come into my life, but this is the way life should be. And look at verse 30. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. And then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? So first, she's confronted by this angel, and fear comes into her heart, and now what? What he's saying doesn't make sense to me, because I know the way life works. I know how these things happen, okay? He's going to receive the throne of David. Wow. I mean, David is, that's it. I mean, King David. And then there's everybody else. And he'll rule Israel forever. What mother wouldn't be excited to hear that this is what's going to happen with her son? You know, oh my boy, man, this is my boy. What every Jewish mother tells her son, when you grow up, you're going to be the best, fill in the blank. There's a cartoon that I love that I've seen it posted on Facebook a number of times over the years, and it's from the time of Jesus. And you know how we have bumper stickers in the back of cars and stuff that say clever things? Well, this one, you may have seen it. There's three camels. And there's bumper stickers on the back of each three of the camels. And it's three Jewish mothers that are standing there with them. And one of those three Jewish mothers is Mary. On the back of the first camel, it says, my son will be a doctor. On the second one, it says, my son will be a lawyer. And on the back of the third one, Mary's, it says, my son is God. How did Mary respond this time? Well, her mind started considering the facts. Wait a minute. Whoa. Time out. I'm a virgin. How can I have a son? This is contrary to the natural processes which I understand and I've learned. This is different. This doesn't make any sense. The first natural response is to respond emotionally, with fear or whatever other emotion. The next natural response is to respond with logical thinking. Past the fear, but now, wait a minute, I haven't been with a man, but I'm going to have a son. So go from emotion to logical thinking, but then there's something else. The third thing that we can see in verses 35 down to verse 38 is the faith of a surrendered life. You see, we start with, wow, what is this that's going on? Then the second is, as we begin to process it, you know, what do I do with this? This doesn't make sense. I don't understand this. But then we can see Mary go right into the faith of a surrendered life. Look at verse 35. Then the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. That may not explain things, but the angel's telling her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Then he throws something else in there. And now, indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. The Holy Spirit's going to give you this child. And by the way, just in case you have trouble with this, Let me give you some more proof of what God can do and is doing. Remember Elizabeth, your cousin? She's old. She's never been able to have a child. She's just considered barren and that's it. There's nothing going to happen. Well, guess what? She is 6 months pregnant. It's like the angels say, look, if God can do that, God can certainly do this, right? Don't you worry. God's got this thing. And look at what Mary said. Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. She went from fear to, how do I understand this? To, God's involved here. There's no problem. Doesn't make sense to me, but God's got this. So how did she respond? She could have responded, let me get this straight. Gabriel or whatever your name is. I'm a virgin. I'm going to get pregnant. Not by Joseph, but by the Holy Spirit. Is that what you're saying? Come on now, Gabriel, really? She could have responded that way, but she didn't respond that way. The equation didn't have a solution for her until God was at it. And as soon as God was at it, there was no problem anymore. She was available. She was obedient. Because she knew God had put her into one of His things. What He's about, what He's doing. And God's got that. Somewhere along the way, someone told Mary that God could do anything. And she believed. She believed. We tell what God is about over and over and over again. And it becomes part of the way we think. Becomes part of the way that we conduct ourselves and we evaluate things. You see, somebody told Mary, God can do anything, and she believed it. And that's when Gabriel told her that. He also told her the story of Elizabeth, just to reinforce. God's going to do this for you. And by the way, don't worry, because God's already done it with your cousin Elizabeth. And that was it. That was all that was needed. I've got this whole big paragraph of several verses, and then you have verse 38. Where Mary says, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to what you've said. That was a simple response after all of that. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Is that demonstrated in your prayers? Expecting God to answer that way. Sometimes we're not on the same page as God, and that's okay. You know, the Holy Spirit works that out for us. We know that. Do you believe that God does miracles for His people? If you go to 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9, the first part of it, 2 Chronicles 16:9, the first part of that verse says that God enjoys the impossible. It doesn't say it that way, but it does say it. And God wants to do the impossible. God wants to take care of the things that are going on in your life. Because in 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9, it says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to Him. That means that God is looking around at each of our lives and He's saying, that one, she's committed to me. She's committed to serving. She's committed to a fellowship and a walk with me. What can I do for Ella? What can I do? What can I do for Shirley? What can I do? I want to do something. I want to meet a need. I want to do something powerful. And the Lord's looking around. What can I do? What can I do? To show Himself, I mean, you can't misunderstand what it says there. To show Himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to Him. What is needed here? What can be done? What needs to be done? What can't be done? I can do it. The God who said, let there be, and from nothing something came into being, He can certainly take care of your troubles and my troubles. What does God want to do? He wants to show Himself strong. And who does He want to do it for? For those who are loyal to Him. On behalf of, wow, good news right there. God wants to display His power for committed Christians. Things haven't changed since Bible times. When talking about God loves the impossible, I actually have a sermon that I titled God Loves the Impossible, where I just go through a whole bunch of ways that God has shown Himself to do the impossible. I mean, think of Elijah up Mount Carmel when he had that challenge with the priests. The idol priests, they had to pray. Fire had to come down. And Elijah made it hard for God because he brought all these barrels of water up there and just drenched the altar and made sure that there weren't going to be any little magic or any little tricks going on. And he did it again. So he did it three times, just totally drenched that thing, filled up the ground around it, the trench around it and everything. Just make it really hard for God. God sent down that fire, and it just took the sacrifice, it took the wood, it took the altar itself, it took all the water that was on the ground around it, and probably left a crater right there below it. Amen? And what about those three men in the furnace, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They made it hard for God, because Nebuchadnezzar's men, his servants here, they cranked that fire, that furnace up 7 times harder than it normally is. 7 times. And what's going on? 3 young Jewish men walking around in there. And the ropes that had tied them together were burned off, and they're just roaming around like it's cool in the furnace. And then there was a 4th one in there. And Nebuchadnezzar looked in there, and he saw a 4th one, and he said it looked like the Son of God. Nebuchadnezzar knew what the Son of God looked like. I don't know. That's what it said, though. And what did he say? Come out of there, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you servants of the Most High God. And they all came, and they come walking out of the furnace that had been put 7 times hotter. God loves the impossible. He loves to show himself strong for those whose heart is loyal to him. What about Gideon, man? He had to face this gigantic army with just a few men, and they didn't get to have weapons. All they got was clay pots, torches, and horns. All they got to do was make a whole bunch of noise, and God took care of the army. And it goes on and on throughout the Bible. What about the death of Lazarus? Lazarus is dead. He's in the grave. And a couple of days go by, and Jesus' disciples, they're going, we need to go. Jesus said, no, no, it's cool. Everything's fine. Well, all right, then. Maybe if we get some time, he'll rest and he'll be better. And Jesus says, no, he's dead. And then they went there. He had been in the grave for several days to the point that the people are all concerned. And you open that grave up, man, a smell is going to belch out of there like you wouldn't believe, because he's already decomposing in that grave. They open it up, and Jesus goes, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus comes strolling out. This is the God who sent a message to Mary about Jesus. Peter in jail. That's one of my favorite ones, Peter in jail, because the church is supposed to understand the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of Jesus. Herod has James killed, John's brother James, and the people seem to like it. So he goes, oh, cool, we'll get the ringmaster here, we'll get Peter. And put Peter in jail. They chained him between 2 guards. The door was closed with all these guards. And then there was another door out into the street from the prison. Peter, he's cool. He's so chill, as they say today, that he fell asleep between the 2 guards. The disciples all met over at Mark's house, and they're having a prayer meet. And what are they praying about over there at Mark's house? Peter. They're praying that God would deliver Peter. All of a sudden, the guards fall down. The shackles fall off of Peter. An angel comes and gets him. He walks out, and the doors open up in front of him. And all of a sudden, Peter's standing in the middle of the street with the angel. Then the angel leaves. Peter's like, wow, what am I going to do? I'm going to go over to the prayer meeting. He goes over to the prayer meeting at Mark's house, knocks on the door. Nobody's answering. They're all afraid inside there. He keeps knocking, and the servant girl, named Rhoda, she comes walking out, opens the door, sees Peter, whoops, shows the door, comes back and says, there's somebody out there, Peter is out there. Well, no, that's not Peter. He's in jail. That's got to be his ghost, if anything. They're praying for God to deliver Peter, and they don't believe it's Peter that's at the front door. God loves the impossible. The feeding of the 5,000? And by the way, the feeding of the 4,000 is not just another telling of the 5,000. They're both in John's Gospel. They went across the lake, and they're like, oh, man, we forgot to bring food. And Jesus goes, wait a minute. You're worried about food. We just fed 4,000 people with just a few fish and loaves. And don't you remember the 5,000? And you're worried about what we're going to eat? God loves the impossible. He loves to take care of his people. He loves to meet those needs. What is your impossible situation right now in your life? What is your impossible situation? I know what mine is. Is it finances? Is it health? Your health or a loved one's? Is it a rebellious child, grandchild? Is it an unsaved spouse, family member, friend? Is it a relationship that just isn't right? Is it your work situation and what is going on there? What's your impossible situation right now? Have you prayed in faith, believing that God can do anything? Have you done that? About that situation in your life, have you prayed to God, believing that he can take care of that? Because you see, God loves the challenge of the impossible. I just mentioned 5 or 6 things. Those are just a few. There are many, many, many. Think about it for a moment. Jesus was coming to live an incredible life of miracles. to die for our sins and to rise from the dead. And how did he arrive? He arrived by way of a miracle. He came to do miracles. He came to do things that just go against everything we understand. And he even arrived through a miracle. The miracle of a virgin birth. A girl who had never been with a man had conceived a child and was going to give birth. Child, not just any child, but God's Son incarnate. She processed from fear to fact to faith. And that's the calling for each one of us. Whatever's going on in our life, whatever that situation is that seems impossible, it brings fear to us because we don't know what to do with it. We rationalize it. We go, there ain't no way that can be done. But then if we step into faith, believing that God can take care of it, that's the call. That's the challenge. That's the call. Ask God to perform the impossible for you.